This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer, Chester Fuller. They're here. They're good to go. And boys and girls, the tournament is underway. We had the NIT last night, which we'll get into. NC State taking care of business. The NCAA First Four was great yesterday. 2 1-point games. Michigan State, a loser last night. Sparty losing to UCLA in bonus time. But today, we got five ACC teams rocking and rolling. So with that said, the official clock, let's get this bad boy going so you know exactly what's happening. I'm going to lay it all out to you today. 5 hours and 13 minutes and change. Hokies start it for the ACC taking on the Florida Gators. We'll get into all the ACC games today and tonight. We'll take your phone calls, like I said, at 844-SAY-ACCN. Guest-wise, Dallin Cuff's going to join me, Mike Barber, Kelly Gramlich. You'll hear from Buddy Boeheim. We had a chance to touch base with Buddy yesterday. In case you missed it, Leonard Hamilton joined us yesterday with the bad Achilles. He's got the Noles ready to roll. And we could have a mystery guest in the Power Hour. Stay tuned. I will not unveil who that is until we get the official confirmation, but it will be a good one, I assure you. All right, let's get into what happened yesterday. First things first, NC State, the Wolfpack, played last night. They took on Davidson. As we pointed out yesterday, BPI, who we're very fond of here on Packer and Durham, had Davidson as the pick. We tried to explain to BPI and the friends of BPI that was the wrong decision. Don't go there. NC State takes care of business. Funderburk goes for 21, 59% shooting. NC State now 11-2 in NIT openers. They will play the winner of the Buffalo-Colorado State game. NC State took care of business. By the way, North Texas, I know they're in the tournament, which is great. But, man, what's up with the floor? Goodness gracious. I mean, I know they're the mean green, but please, you took it to another level. So did NC State. I thought they were the better team going into it. That's why Wes and I were totally like, hey, BPI, you don't know what you're talking about. But the Wolfpack looked engaged. They looked energized. And, again, you got to have the want to when you're in the NIT. So the Wolfpack moves on. They eliminate Davidson. As I said, they get the winner of the Buffalo-Colorado State game. However, while that was great news for NC State, if you are a gambling type and you are watching the game, something happened in the first 10 seconds of this game that should never, ever happen, period. I don't care what team you root for, what conference you love. We're going to play this. And again, 8 seconds to be exact, into the game, something happened. I'm going to play this in case you did not see the game and see if you can pick up on what I'm talking about. This is last night, NC State and Davidson.
North Carolina State and Davidson have in store for us tonight. As right off the bat, the opening tap goes in favor of the Tar Heels.
Tar Heels. Wait, can we play this again? I want everybody to pay attention. Now, keep in mind, NC State earlier this year played Louisville in women's basketball. And the announcer was a guy by the name of Ryan Rucco, who called NC State the Wild Pack Cats. And we went nuts on this show with that. So NC State's women's team, who, by the way, the number one seed in the tournament. That's one thing. So we're going to play this again, and please pay attention about the 8 second into the game mark. This should never, ever happen.
North Carolina State and Davidson have in store for us tonight. As right off the bat, the opening tap goes in favor of the Tar Heels.
No. You can't do that. I don't know. The guy's name is Derek Jones. I don't know Derek Jones. And it's not personal. But, sir, you cannot, under any circumstance, ever in your life or anybody else's life, do an NC State game and call them the Tar Heels. And for any other broadcaster, you can never, ever do a North Carolina game and say, oh, great basket by the Wolfpack. That does not fly in this league. Look, I grew up in the state of North Carolina. I'm just telling you, you can't do that. I went to school at Clemson. If somebody was doing the Clemson-Rutgers game tonight and says, oh, there's Amir Sims, that's a great shot, the Clemson Gamecocks take the lead, I can assure you there would be fistfights in the Palmetto State. And so when I heard that yesterday, I'm starting to think, all right, here's the question. And I normally do this for radio in the afternoon. It's called a goofball question. And I'm going to pose that today on Packer and Durham. 844-SAY-ACCN, the number. Who is that more offensive to? NC State, because they were called the Tar Heels, or to North Carolina fans, because you're watching an NC State game and you're called that? So that's the question. And that's also true, for example, you got Virginia Tech and Virginia going this weekend, right? Virginia tickets cranked up here in, 5 hours and change. Can you imagine Virginia Tech? Here's the official clock, 5 hours, 8 minutes. Can you imagine if you're watching Virginia Tech, Florida, coming up here a little afternoon, and the guy goes, man, what a great shot for Virginia Tech. I tell you what, the Wahoos are really off to a blazing start. People in the Commonwealth would lose it. So who is that more offensive to? I'll pose that question to you. You can have some fun with it today on the show at 844-SAY-ACCN. You just can't go there. I mean, I can't even imagine. And again, I go back to the off-campus show. If I said something on the air and said, hey, the Texas A&M Longhorns are really doing a great job in recruiting, people would blister me for, nonstop. You just cannot make that mistake. We all screw up, believe me. It'll happen 15 times on this show today. But you can't go there, not 8 seconds into the game. The Tar Heels are off to a great start. No, that would be incorrect answer. You cannot go there. The good news is why I have fun here. NC State gets the win. Wolfpack off to a good start in the NIT. Did not surprise me. BPI now 0-1 against me and Wes. We'll have picks later on, even though my partner's not feeling well today. All right, let's get into other things, more important things going on. We've got the men and the women. NCAA tournament gets cranked up. Great games last night in the first four if you were watching. If you stayed up past midnight, you saw that Sparty got eliminated by UCLA in overtime. Tom Izzo will be discussion today, but not on this network. But we've got 25 teams that made both the men's and the women's tournament. Both. Five are from the Atlantic Coast Conference. Five of them. You've got Florida State. You got Georgia Tech. You got Syracuse. You got Virginia Tech. And you got North Carolina. So congratulations to those five. Only 25 teams in America doing the double dip on both the men's and the women's side. Those five right there that you see on the screen are from the Atlantic Coast Conference. So congratulations. As you know, we got seven on the men's side, eight on the ladies' side. Eight's the most of any conference in the country. As Q told us yesterday, the head coach of the women's team at Syracuse, hey, we got more than anybody else. How many you got? Well, the men's got seven. Only the Big Ten's got more with nine. And we roll it out there today and let it rip and see where this bad boy goes. All right? So can't wait. Now, as far as the schedule goes today, let me get everybody up to speed. We've got the official clock, right? We got the official clock, a little over 5 hours till we finally get this thing going on. And the Hokies are first up for the ACC as they take on the Florida Gators. But you know, that game today is coming up around 12:15, all right? 12:15 Eastern time. You go Virginia Tech and Florida. Later this afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern time, Georgia Tech, without Moses Wright, takes on Loyola of Chicago. Both of them are smoking hot. Georgia Tech's won 8 in a row. Loyola's not only won 6 in a row, they've won 17 of their last 18. And the Ramblers get a huge break without Moses Wright. We'll see how Georgia Tech steps up, takes care of business. At 10 after 7 p.m. Eastern time tonight, 8 versus 9, North Carolina and Wisconsin. The Heels, of course, Roy Williams, 29-0. In the first round of the NCAA tournament. Wisconsin, by the way, 4-42 at Mackey Arena. Now, granted, they're not playing Purdue. Granted, there won't be 15,000 fans screaming at them. North Carolina, perfect in the first round with Roy and Wisconsin. That will be a good one. Experience versus inexperience. 9:20 tonight, Clemson-Rutgers. It will be a rock fight. Amir Sims joined us this week. Says he likes the athleticism of the Tigers. He thinks that'll be the advantage. We will see. Both teams very, very similar. 9:40 tonight. A pair of red-hot teams. Syracuse. Here they go again. Double-digit seed. Beware of the Cuse taking on San Diego State. And, of course, the Aztecs have won 14 consecutive games. It should be pointed out the last time these two teams hooked up, it was on the retired aircraft of the USS Midway back in 2012. All right, check that out. All right, here's the boys, by the way. Everybody wants to know how the dogs are doing. Chester has been eating Mrs. P's coffee cake since about 4:30 this morning. So he's praying to the puppy gods over here on the green chair, in the green room chair. And Fuller is over here to my right. You can't see Fuller, but he's down here by my feet, sound asleep. So there's the boys. All right, we'll take some phone calls here. 844-SAY-ACCN. I want to go to Jeff in North Carolina leading things off this morning. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you, Mark.
What's happening?
In regards to your question about who's more offended.
Yes, sir.
Definitely the Wolfpack, and I'm very qualified on this. Let me tell you, explain why. I've been a Wolfpack fan since I was a small child and saw the Bucky brothers and Lou Holtz and Tommy Burleson, Monty Tao, David Thompson. And my daughter was born right about the time Phillip Rivers started his first game at State. She grew up with the red 17 jerseys on. A few years ago, she broke my heart by going to Carolina. And if that's not enough, she went to grad school at Carolina. So I get to love them every time I write a check as well. It was more offensive to the pack.
All right. I think it's an interesting question, and it's not even just an NC State, North Carolina thing, since that's what happened last night in the broadcast with the NIT. But I would pose that same question to Clemson fans with South Carolina. Same thing with Virginia, Virginia Tech. We'd go through the whole thing. Louisville and Kentucky. I mean, can you imagine a Louisville fan, the Louisville Wildcats? People would go bonkers in the Commonwealth with all that. So I appreciate the call, and I can certainly feel your pain with that check. Because, you know, you could sit there and say, well, that's my team. All right, you disrespected us with that. But you know what? When you're writing a check and it's got commas in it, it really goes to the heart. I mean, that's personal, really personal. So, Jeff, I appreciate the phone call. I get where you're coming from with that. All right, NC State a winner last night. That's all good news. We move forward on that front. We'll have more fun with your phone calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. Again, just a reminder, guests today, Dallin Cuff, Mike Barber, Kelly Gramlich, Buddy Boeheim, and potentially a mystery guest coming up in hour number three of the Power Hour. We'll have picks as well. Wes and I will go up against the BPI. We've already gotten off to a good start, given the fact that we both, Wes and I, picked the Wolfpack. That'd be the NC State Wolfpack. BPI went with Davidson. That's a beautiful thing. We'll talk about the games today, your phone calls, great guest, a little bit of everything. Wes under the weather. He'll be back hopefully on Monday. I'm Mark Packer. You got us right here on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Who should be more offended? North Carolina or NC State fans after that call last night, 8 seconds, 8 seconds into the game. We'll get back to your calls here in a little bit. 844-SAY-ACCN. All right, there's a lot going on this weekend. We got all kinds of great stuff, baseball, softball, and wrestling. All right, and we've talked about that. We had Quinn on earlier this week and breaking down the NCAA championships. The ACC has been tremendous. Five teams ranked in the top 20 on a consistent basis. Chance for NC State and Virginia Tech, maybe top five, top 10 finishes. We'll see what happens there. But yesterday, the tournament got underway. 16 ACC wrestlers have advanced to the quarterfinals at the NCAA Wrestling Championships. We'll give you the list of ACC wrestlers still in the hunt. NC State off to a really great start. Same thing with Virginia Tech. But I mentioned, the league has really been terrific. We've had a great deal of fun talking about the Friday night duels. I've talked five teams in the top 20. They've been taking care of business. This is a sport that is on the rise in the league. Number of guys got a chance to win NCAA championships. A number of NC State guys still in the number two spot. You could go down this whole list. Even number two, Austin O'Connor from North Carolina in the Buck 49 division got a chance to take care of business. It will be interesting to see at the end of the weekend How many ACC wrestlers can grab national championships? Here's the entire list. You knew Jacob Camacho was going to be in the hunt. You knew he was going to be in the hunt, right? You knew he was going to be in the hunt. But NC State, Pitt, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, I'm telling you, the league is loaded. Virginia. So again, ACC wrestlers, 16 of them advancing to the quarters. It should also be noted that Makai Lewis, who we've had on this show from Virginia Tech, Olympian, ACC champion, won yesterday but got injured again, this time a shoulder. Don't know what his status is moving forward, but it was hard to watch. If you watched it yesterday, it's incredible competition. Makai Lewis, one of the best in the business, goes down with the injury. And just going to tell you, this is hard to watch now. You got a bad shoulder, and you're trying to do this. Are you kidding me? You think you're tough? These dudes are on another planet. But Makai gets the win, knocking off Tanner Skidgel from Navy 3-2. He will face, potentially, we hope, Zach Hartman from Bucknell in the quarterfinals. But, man, you can just tell how much pain he's in right there watching this. And we're talking about a true champion right here. This guy is as solid as a rock, too. We've had him on the show. Like I said, great interview. Terrific young man. We wish him the very best. As far as the team standings go, we've mentioned the fact that both NC State and Virginia Tech have a chance to do maybe top 10, top fives. We'll see what happens on that front. Here's what the standings look like after the second session. Iowa, Penn State, Missouri are 1-2-3. Wolfpack sitting right there solid in the number four spot, looking for a strong finish, a chance for a number of guys to win national championships. You go down the rest of the list, you see Virginia Tech tied for ninth. Again, the wrestling programs in this conference out of sight. Five in the top 20. And while we talk about football and basketball all the time, when you start talking about the Olympic sports, this is one sport to keep an eye on moving forward from the ACC. So we wish all those guys the very best. 16 ACC wrestlers advanced. NC State, Virginia Tech ready to rock and roll on that front too. We'll take some phone calls. We've got prop bets to get into as well. I got Austin in North Carolina next. Austin, how are you?
Hey, how are you this morning, Pat?
I am good. What's up?
Yeah, I feel like it's more offensive at the Tar Heels, you know, because I feel like the Tars have accomplished more basketball-wise than the Wolfpack. So them referring us to the Wolfpack seems to be really offensive to us, I would think.
Well, that's why I asked this question, because I know all my NC State buddies lost it. I mean, my phone blew up last night when I heard eight seconds, the first basket of the game. And again, if you missed this, we're going to probably play this another three or four more times just because we're having fun with it. But this was the call to start the NIT between NC State and Davidson. Again, 8 seconds into the ball game, you get this call. Phone blew up, and I know NC State fans went crazy with this one.
North Carolina State and Davidson have in store for us tonight, as right off the bat, the opening tap goes in favor of the Tar Heels.
Yeah, that didn't go over well. So the question then becomes today, I know NC State fans are hot. That's a given. So were North Carolina fans offended? How dare you mention us in the NIT? No. No. We're over here on the other side. We've got Wisconsin. Don't bring us into this. Well, I just did. So you've already had two calls today, both on the different sides. Let me get one more call before we get the prop bets. Rick is up next. Rick, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Alumnus of NC State, lifelong fan. First of all, Mark, I'd like to thank you for bringing it to everyone's attention in case anyone missed it. But what it shows to me is ESPN is supposed to be the mothership of all sports channels. They have an announcer 8 seconds into a game. Total lack of professionalism. Very offensive to NC State fans. I can't speak to how Tar Heel fans feel about it, but to be called your rival's nickname 8 seconds into a nationally broadcast game is offensive.
Let me ask you this as an NC State fan. What was worse, being called the Tar Heels in an NIT game or having arguably the best women's program in the country be called the Wild Pack?
I think that, yeah, probably the women's gaffe might have been worse, but if you look at the total picture, they're equally offensive.
I understand. I just, again, you're being transparent, and so are we with this question. So I appreciate your insight on that. And again, I can't answer the question. I really don't have any skin in the game on this one. But NC State, North Carolina fans, and I'm kind of posing this question to everybody and their arch rival. It's not just an NC State, North Carolina thing. But again, I mentioned, you got the Hokies and the Hoos in the Commonwealth. Well, they're in the NCAA tournament. Can you imagine a Virginia Tech guy watching the game and all of a sudden they're called the Wahoos? You go crazy. Clemson fans sitting there watching the Rutgers game tonight, and some guy goes, hey, the Clemson Gamecocks off to a roaring start. You'd go absolutely berserk on that deal. But nevertheless, we'll continue to have some fun with it. But wrestling keeps going, rocking and rolling with the ACC. We'll see how that goes. All right, prop bets real quick. Dallin Cuff coming up here in about 5 minutes. 844-SAY-ACCN. We'll take some more phone calls. But folks love all this stuff. All right, they love all this stuff. I'm going to just throw a couple on you since we're about 5 hours away, less than 5 hours from tip. Let me give you this one first. Total number of number one seeds that will make the Final Four. All right. How many number one seeds will make the Final Four? There are a lot of people believe that this particular year that you could see all four number ones make it. That's only happened one time ever. So if you're still trying to figure out your brackets and you got all four ones, that's probably not going to happen. But again, this is Caesar's Sportsbook by William Hill. Here are the numbers. And I tell you what, the one that's got zero on it plus 1,000, there's no way in the world you can convince me in a million years that not a single number one seed is going to stay in Indianapolis. I think the number one line this year is as good as I've seen it in a long, long time. Now, there's no guarantees. We're going to roll the ball out and see where this bad boy goes. But you can have some fun with that. All right, total number of tournament wins for the ACC. We got seven teams in on the men's side, right? The best we've got is a pair of number fours with Virginia and Florida State. The number for the ACC, by the way, forfeits do not count. 6.5 over and under. If I was a betting man, and I'm not, I would go over. Now, if you've been watching the show or listening to it this week, I've got a vibe that Florida State's going to go on a run. Now, the first round, we're going to get into all these games today. We got seven ACC teams, five today, two tomorrow, getting cranked up. And there's going to be some that are going to be underdogs, especially by the BPI. Can you win all seven? That'd be great, but I don't think that'll probably happen in all likelihood. So the over and under for total wins, I think will be over 6.5. Because I think there's going to be at least one team making a deep run in the dance. We'll get into all that stuff too. Another question is, will a number four seed win the NCAA tournament? Keep in mind, for the ACC's perspective, you've got both Virginia and Florida State as four seeds. Yes, plus 1,400. No, negative 3,500. I think Florida State can make a run. I'm worried about Virginia. Not because I don't think Tony Bennett's a great coach. He is. Not because I don't think Virginia's got a great program. They do. But their itinerary today, flying into Indy for the first time, having a quarantine, having a test, have to get up and have another test after midnight. They're going to wake up Saturday morning, have a practice, their first one, and they're going to play Saturday night. I mean, that's tough. I don't care who you are or who you're playing. That is a tough deal. Virginia wins this game tomorrow against Ohio. It'd be an incredible accomplishment given what they've been fighting off here for the last 10 days. Finally, will a team from the ACC win the NCAA tournament? Will a team from the ACC win the NCAA tournament? Look at that. The Atlantic Coast Conference has the sixth best conference odds. Folks aren't buying into it, man. The league's down. The league is so down, they only put seven teams in the dance. But the question is, do they have one that can win it? Might be a shorter list this year than what we've seen in years past.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
My partner under the weather a little bit. Hopefully he'll be back with us on Monday. Right now we bring on Dallin Cuff to break down everything you need to know about hoops because we got it cranked up. And Dallin, first of all, happy March Madness. The first four games, if that was any indicator, we're in for really an awesome couple weeks, aren't we?
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, I hope Wes is doing well, but this is what people do when you don't work in sports. You call in sick on the first day of the tournament. I find this really interesting. So this is kind of bizarre. I mean, I used to, actually, when I went to marketing advertising, we just block off from like noon to six. Say I had a meeting.
Yeah.
And usually our client at that time was Verizon. I just stick Verizon meeting. My boss one night was like, what are you doing for 5 hours? I was like, I'm just going to watch the games. You want to go? He's my boy. I'm like, I'm just going to watch the games. He's like, oh, all right, let's. I can probably be out of three. I'm like, perfect. So I was one year. I was we enjoyed ourselves at a bar for about 5 or 6 hours, and then called it a day.
You know, I'm with you 100%. But the problem is, we do this for a living. You know, I mean, so it's not really work. I got to be honest with you. We just sit around and shoot the breeze about sports. So it's not like we're out there really doing any kind of manual labor where you say, you know, I'm thinking, just not really feeling too good today. I think I'm going to take the whole weekend off. But nevertheless, Wes will be back. He's been fighting it all week, but he'll be good to go. All right, let's get into the games. The loss of Moses Wright, goodness gracious. You're not just losing a player, you're losing the ACC Player of the Year. It's a big, big blow to Georgia Tech.
It is. Let me just say this. I just still think they can win the game. And why? It's because their style of play and how they played that, you know, how Josh changed up that zone defense. It's a little 1-3-1. And sometimes they match up. It goes back into a 2-3. You don't really know what you're dealing with at times. And people within the league are a little more used to seeing that, know how to approach it and how to not be on your heels and can play downhill. But without Moses, yeah, the team is different. And the big problem is, too, is you want to make sure you can punish Cameron Krutwig, Loyola Chicago's best player on the other side. Krutwig's a very mobile five-man. One of the more, you know, skilled passers. He's really a smart basketball player. He's not the most athletic guy, but he might have been able to punish him on the other side and get him in foul trouble, probably, that is. But now Moses isn't going to be there. And we know Georgia Tech's not a very deep team, especially at the front court spot. So, yes, you're missing the ACC Player of the Year. Yes, you're missing a guy that's absolutely been a beast in the last, you know, month of the season. But I still think they could win this game. The problems would be if they do that going forward, what would happen with Illinois next. But I couldn't feel worse for him. And this is something, back, we knew this was a possibility. Everybody knew it was a probability that it was going to happen to some players or some teams or some coaches. And obviously Georgia Tech and Moses are going through this. Oklahoma and Davion Harmon have the issue as well. And it's just a really unfortunate situation these guys are going through.
No question about that. Next man up. But the guys are going to have to step up. I don't think you can replace him. But everybody else in the perimeter is going to have to pick their game up a little bit. That's a lot of points, leadership, and a force at the middle, which is a big deal. And the other thing, too, we talk about teams getting hot. Georgia Tech's won 8 in a row, which is awesome. You know what? Loyola's won 6 in a row, 17 of 18. So both of these teams, you know, are feeling it that, hey, guess what? It's our turn. Let's go. And that's what makes the tournament great.
100%. I mean, obviously, everybody remembers Loyola Chicago. Pat, I got to credit you. You haven't mentioned Sister Jean yet, and you've said Loyola Chicago like 3 times. I think we're like contractually obligated to say her name. But she will be in the building, and that team obviously has had past success. And Krutwig was on that team and went to the Final Four. Lucas Williamson was on that team and went to the Final Four. Krutwig started. So they obviously have designs on winning games and showing that their year in the Valley was not a unique year. It's not because the Valley wasn't particularly good, because they're really good. That's what they want to show. They got a chip on their shoulder without a doubt. I think Tech does that too. Tech does have that confidence from what they've done the last 8 games. And when you're playing without Moses, you know you got to raise your game. But it does, you know, create some questions sometimes about what we're going to do. How do we overcome his absence? And again, if they defend the way they can and they force turnovers, it's one thing Loyola Chicago does do is turn the ball over a bit. And that's where Georgia Tech feasts. Top 10 in the nation in defensive turnover rate. I think they're 4th in points per game off turnovers at 18 a game. If they score off their turnovers and generate offense off their defense, they could be in a good spot still, despite Mr. Wright not being there.
Well, I think any time that Sister Jean's mentioned, you got to balance it out with Bobby Kremen's on the other side. I mean, that's Georgia Tech's version of being close to the Lord, right? I mean, that's how you got to balance that whole thing out. But it should be a tremendous game. 8-9, all these 8-9 games will be out of sight. All right, Florida State. We had Leonard Hamilton on the show. In case you missed it, you're going to hear that interview coming up in about 5 or 10 minutes. Coach is playing with a bad Achilles, and he said he exercised the demons, hopefully, of the 25 turnovers they had against the Jackets in the ACC tournament game. I don't think they're going to have an issue here, But what do you think the mindset is of Florida State as you saw them coming down the stretch? As Leonard pointed out to us yesterday, they were kind of banged up coming down, and this time off has actually been a good thing for the Noles.
Yeah, I think it's a chance to refocus and reset yourself. I think it's like, okay, we've not played the way we wanted to play the last couple of weeks. Not that we're not capable of playing at a really high level. We haven't quite done it. So you see this happen with teams a lot in the NCAA tournament. They get a chance to restart, refresh, and refocus and say, all right, we got to be the best version of ourselves. There's no tomorrow if we don't do that. And that sometimes that added pressure, but also that urgency can help. And this is something that this Florida State team, and Leonard said this many times, when we play with the intensity, particularly we showed, if you remember the first half of that UVA game, they can beat anybody in the country. And that's true. And this team at times has ebbed and flowed through the necessary intensity on both sides of the court to be their best selves. So I think if this can, some time off can help them get healthy as well as focus in, I think they can achieve great things. I actually have them beating Michigan. I have the first one seed going out in my bracket is Michigan. I think Florida State, with they get banged up, Wolverines will be missing Isaiah Livers. Hurts that team on both ends of the floor. I think Florida State is a good matchup. I think the size they have and how they run their ball screen continuity offense will affect Hunter Dickinson, the big in the middle for Michigan. The freshman's been outstanding, but having him chase, you know, Bolsa Koprivica around for 80 ball screens a possession sometimes is going to be problematic for them. So I like Florida State's chances. I like what Leonard has done with his team all year long. I think they can peak at the right time.
Yeah, I do too. I think Florida State's getting ready to make a deep run, but, you know, that's why we watch and that's why we enjoy the tournament. All right, Virginia Tech, Florida, to me, is one of the most interesting first-round games. I thought Virginia Tech as a 10 seed was a bit high. That didn't seem right to me. I thought they would be certainly a single-digit seed. It really doesn't matter now because we're less than 5 hours from tip-off. We know Cone is not going to go, but the fact that Radford is now back in the mix for Virginia Tech is good. I was impressed with how tough and physical they were against North Carolina in the ACC tournament. This is a good basketball team, well-coached, and, of course, the Gators have a great success in first round winning their last 7 NCAA tournaments. So what gives with Virginia Tech and Florida?
Probably points, in all honesty. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I do think you're right. Virginia Tech is probably underseeded by about a seed line. They probably should have been at least a 9 and played 8-9 game. They are getting a Florida team that has lost 4 or 5 and can struggle to score. Trey Mann is a really good guard. Colin Castleton, a really good big man. But I like Virginia Tech's chances in this game because of their defensive and offensive versatility. What helps them, too, Pack, is when you're scouting a team you don't know, sometimes it doesn't help. It makes it sometimes a bit easier to play, though, when they got one dude you got to stop. We got to stop X and we can win this game. They don't really have that, which is a good thing. I mean, Keve Aluma has been outstanding all year, but Justin Mutz has his time, and those guys are going to give Castleton all he can handle. Obviously, having Radford in the lineup is important, but Couture can go get your buckets. You know, you've got guys across the court that can score and step up at different times and have at different times this year. I like them. I like them to win this game in a tight game with, like I said, a Florida team that's struggling a bit, but in a low-scoring game. I think both these teams, Florida will like to press them a little bit, try to push the pace. Haven't been able to do that as much as they wanted to this year, given the different injuries and situations they've played through. But I think Virginia Tech can handle their pressure and play at a pace that's more commensurate to the way they want to play and be able to win this thing in what I think will probably be a tough half-court game.
It'll be a good ball game. Virginia Tech, by the way, has never faced an SEC team in the NCAA tournament, but you're going to see it 12:15 today. It should be tremendous. All right, 8-9s. I love them. North Carolina, Wisconsin. New versus old. And when I say old, Wisconsin's got dudes. They may be older than the Charlotte Hornets, but they have really struggled. I mean, I mentioned this the other day. They're 0-9 against top 30 teams since Christmas. From the Big Ten, the rugged, nasty Big Ten. Here's North Carolina with great bigs, front court's out of sight. Is it as simple as, hey, can they hold on to the basketball? And if the young kids can make some shots on the perimeter, they're in business? I mean, is it that simple with North Carolina?
In this game, I think it is. Wisconsin is a team that as you mentioned, they've struggled against any good competition. They just struggled, period. Their offense has been, which is surprising. I mean, you mentioned they're 8-8. I mean, these dudes have like AARP cards. These are grown dudes, man. But they have really struggled offensively at times this year and to make shots and get good shots. They play at a snail's pace. So Virginia, North Carolina will want to push it, but at times you're going to win this thing in the half court. And that's where the freshmen are really big, the guards. Okay, Caleb Love, RJ Davis, Curl Walton's got to make shots. They play like a pack line defense, Wisconsin does. So they're not going to get out and force you into turnovers. But if you're driving into guys that are in a set defense and you're not getting ball reversals, you're in trouble. They've struggled all year at times to enter the ball in the post. They're going to have to enter it well. Michael Potter and Nate Reavers are two good bigs. They're skilled bigs that they can take them on the perimeter and make shots on the other end. But I think Carolina's bigs have gotten used to playing a lot of versatile bigs within this conference. They're going to chase guys around and be worried about their ability to make shots. So I think they can do that at a good enough level. And the biggest thing, Pack, is they got to get the ball in the rim. Just if you can get shots up, we know North Carolina's first in the nation in offensive rebounding percentage. The biggest inhibitor to that is turning the ball over. If you don't force bad positions and you can make some shots on the outside and just get the ball in the rim, I do think Carolina's front court can dominate this game. May not happen in the first 5 minutes, may not happen in the first 10, but I think over the course of the 40, it'll wear them down. And defensively, they've got to just be sound. You don't have to do too much. As I mentioned, Wisconsin was really struggling as of late to score and just run effective offense. Granted, Big Ten basketball is pretty different than the ACC. And their physical style and how they play, like a slow plodding style, may affect the tempo of the game and affect North Carolina's ability to lock in for 30 seconds defensively. But they're going to have to. And I think that will do enough. I like Carolina to win this game. As we're just going through all these games, I feel like an ACC homer. I think you've touched on all the games where I think the ACC team is actually going to win. We haven't got to the teams I think are going to lose.
Well, I'm going to do one more game today that we're going to see with Syracuse and all that stuff. But we'll get all these games throughout the course of the show. But something does have to give with that North Carolina game. Roy Williams has one of the most remarkable stats in the history of dirt, and that is the fact that he's 29-0 in first round games in the NCAA tournament, which is just doesn't even sound like that could physically be possible. But North Carolina is also 0-3 in NCAA tournament games in the Indianapolis area. So something's got to give one way or the other on that bad boy. Let me get you to Syracuse. 11 seed, Jim Boeheim loves it there, man. He gets in that comfort zone with that double-digit seed in the NCAA tournament. But they take on a really talented and hot San Diego State. What gives here in the 6-11 matchup?
I love it, San Diego State's team, and Coach Boeheim came on with us on our ACCN bracketology show right after the brackets were announced, and he made the point that San Diego State's probably a four seed. They are underseeded. I think the Mountain West in general didn't get a lot of respect from the committee, and San Diego State's legit. They got 3,000 point scorers on that team, but then in their college careers, they're top 10 in the nation defensive efficiency. They make every possession an absolute battle for you to score. They're going to take you out of what you want to do well. Can Buddy Boeheim play through some contact, play through the physicality, play through the grind that this game is going to be? On the defensive end, the zone is not really what it once was. They've gotten better in it through the course of the year. But San Diego State, I think, matches up well against it. They shoot it very well. They've got multiple guys, whether it's Matt Mitchell, Terrell Gomez. They can operate in the middle of that zone and pick that apart. Nathan Mensah is a great rim protector and shot blocker and play well. He can play well at a dunker spot behind the zone. And like I said, they got guys that can make shots, Jordan Shackle and others. So I love San Diego State's team. I actually have them making a little bit of a run. That part of the bracket, I have just total chaos. I have San Diego State winning that game, beating WVU. I have Rutgers beating Houston, who's the 2 seed. So that's a 10-6 matchup in the Sweet 16. I have San Diego State in my Elite Eight. So I love this team. I think Brian Dutcher's crew's done a great job. And I think they got a lot of guys that are playing a little chip on their shoulder because a number of these guys were on that team last year. It was undefeated. When the tournament was taken away, they had one loss. They're probably going to be a 1 seed. And the tournament was taken away from them, like the tournament was taken away from all of us. But particularly for guys like that put together kind of a dream run, a magical year, they think this is their chance to get it right. And they have a chance to do that. And I think their team is outstanding. And if Matt Mitchell didn't get hurt in the first Utah State game, they would have won, I think it's like 21 out of 22. So they are on a roll and a team that knows exactly who they are. And I think that spells a little bit of trouble for Syracuse. They get a little bit of an underseeded team that's hungry and wants to prove themselves.
Well, you tipped your hat with the bracket, so you like Rutgers to beat Clemson. Why?
I think Rutgers they are a very good defensive team. I think they match up well with Clemson. I think they have guys that can make it difficult for them to score. We know Clemson has a propensity to already struggling to score at times. Clemson's got to make threes. I think Rutgers will be able to run those guys up the three-point line. I think from Amir Sims' standpoint, Miles Johnson is a big physical guy that I think it'll be interesting to see them match up, but I think he can stay in front of him enough on the perimeter. And then the interior, Johnson has quite a bit of an advantage. On the offensive end, they got a number of guys that can handle the ball and I think will withstand the pressure the Tigers will put on them at times. And they got guys that can go get you buckets. Jacob Young can score. Geo Baker can go score. They're a talented team that I think had a good run through part of the Big Ten season. They had their struggles. And Pack, that league was no joke, man. When I watched a lot of those games, those were a lot of high level games. Rutgers played in them. The big concern, but lost some of them and won some of them. The big concern with them, though, in all honesty, is they're making free throws. They are about 64% for the free throw line. That's, I think, their bottom like 15 in the nation. And they played Iowa earlier this year, where they dominated Iowa. And if you didn't even watch the game, you look at the stat sheet, you say, how in the heck did they lose this game? We'll circle the free throws. They were 5-15. And there's a couple of instances of that where if they just made free throws, they would have beat some really good teams. So that can be a concern in tournament time. But I think they beat Clemson in what would be a tight game. And Clemson's inability to score will, I think, ultimately be their downfall in this game.
One more thing. Does it not seem that we're getting to tomorrow where the question becomes, can the 4-seed Virginia upset the 13-seed Ohio? Does it not feel that way to you? I mean, given how crazy this week's been?
Well, Pat, I mean, yes, there's not a single person I know, not even analysts. I don't know anybody picking UVA. And I can't really argue with that because this is unprecedented, man. Like when I played during the season, if you went more than a day without touching a ball, that was strange. And the ball felt weird the day after. You're doing ball slaps, getting your feel back. And that's as an individual. These guys have been in quarantine in Charlottesville since they beat Syracuse on a buzzer beater. They drove back. They've all been in the rooms. They're trying to figure out ways for these guys to stay in shape. So you've got a conditioning problem. You've got a feel and chemistry problem. On top of that, they're traveling today, reportedly. They'll land in Indianapolis. They'll test as soon as they get there. They'll test again at midnight, Saturday, technically. Their only time to practice available will be 7:15 a.m. Saturday. And the first time they will practice as a group or been on the floor as a group since that ACC tournament game two Thursdays ago now. And then they're going to tip it up at like 9 o'clock. I mean, that schedule is bananas. Like, I can't imagine going through that just to play any game. Forget an NCAA tournament game. And then across from them is an NBA point guard. Jason Preston's an absolute stud. I mean, he's a 6'4 guard. They're going to run a ton of ball screens. And so UVA's ball screen coverage has not been great this year at times. Their consistency, as Tony Bennett will tell you, defensively has been the issue. They're 33rd in defensive efficiency. That's the lowest they've been since 2011. This is an abnormal UVA team. They're usually in the top five. You know, this is a different group where you can score on them. It's not as painful. And those ball screens are going to come at them over and over and over again. And Preston, 6'4", makes great decisions out of them, can score out of them, can get downhill and create for his teammates out of them. And he'll create a lot of problems. Lastly, the way UVA plays offense is heavily reliant on taking and making threes. And primarily from their bigs, Jay Huff, Sam Hauser, Trey Murphy. We know this. But when you don't play and you're not getting all your requisite shots up, to walk into a strange arena and just think you're going to knock down 40% of your threes, it seems like it's not going to happen. It easily could. I would just be surprised that because their game is reliant on shooting, a little finesse, and you ain't played in 9 days together. I mean, this is brutal. I feel terrible for them. It could not be happening at a worse time. This is why I said all along, I hope that there was a bigger buffer, the conference tournaments and the NCAA worked together to create a little more separation. So we didn't have a Georgia Tech, we didn't have a UVA, but we do. And that's unfortunate. And hopefully they can overcome it for their sake. But they're in a really tough spot.
Yeah, tough spot. But you know what? It beats the alternative. And that's sitting on the couch watching somebody else play. That I know
true.
For a fact. All right, before I let
that
you go,
true.
The Portuguese word of the day is?
Agradecido. A-G-R-A-C-E-D-I-D-O. It means you're grateful. I think
Excellent.
That's what's important about. Yeah, I think all of us. And particularly the players and all the medical staffs, all the sacrifices made to get to this point. So we get to, as always, get to do our job and talk about basketball and all those things, those players and those students and those all the folks that did to get us to this point. Incredibly grateful because, man, last year this time when there was no NCAA tournament, my wife's like, this isn't going to work. This is problematic. I mean, I was
despondent. You were home.
We're in the beginning of a pandemic. I'm in the tank because we have no tournament. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe it was not cool. So to have this chance to sit here today, I'm so excited about this whole day to be just watching games, talking about games, and thankful and grateful for all those players and people that got us to this point.
Well said in multiple languages. Listen, enjoy the madness. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Beck.
You got it. Dallin Cuff, taking care of business. By the way, just a quick reminder, it's more than just hoops going on. We got you covered here on ACC Network. Matter of fact, Sunday, we'll have more women's lacrosse for you. Number 12, Duke's on the road. They're at number 9, Virginia. Our coverage will start at noon Eastern right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. And by the way, this will be the second of two matchups they're going to play. Hiraskin is play tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern in beautiful Charlottesville. So check that out.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
And many thanks to Dallin Cuff, who just joined us. We started the show very quickly by playing the first 8 seconds of last night's NIT bout between NC State and Davidson, and it's led to a ton of phone calls already, which we'll continue to take. But this is what you missed in case you did miss it.
North Carolina State and Davidson have in store for us tonight, as right off the bat, the opening tap goes in favor of the Tar Heels.
Yeah, in favor of the Tar Heels, NC State Davidson. That's got people fired up today. 844-SAY-ACCN. We head down to the great state of Georgia, where Daryl has been holding patiently. Daryl, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm great, man. What's going on?
Doing fine. Well, as far as this issue here goes, to me, it's always more offensive to the team that's playing. I mean, for a broadcaster to not do his homework any better than that, you know, it's just ridiculous to me. You ought to have on a piece of paper in front of them the team names. So I just don't get how, you know, something like that could happen.
So an easy call for you. And by the way, I'm assuming you have no skin in this game, right? You're just a guy with put your feet up watching ball games and going, hey, don't offend me, whether it's North Carolina, NC State. But you know what? The team playing, you got to get right.
Well, I do believe the team playing, you got to get it right. But yes, I'm a big NC State fan.
Oh, okay, you are. Okay, good. Well, that you know what? That's transparency. I appreciate that phone call. I have a funny feeling this is going to go all over the place. Let me get Tremaine in Virginia up next. Tremaine, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So this is my thought on the situation. You know how if a player does something just completely ridiculous in a game and a coach immediately goes to the bench, get him out of here. Same thing should happen with sports announcers when something like that happens. You should either have someone off camera, like, yeah, he's done, get him out here. Or you should have grandma sitting behind him on the bench to just walk up with her ruler and pop him in the mouth and go, no, 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 no. Because, you know, this is coming from a Virginia Tech standpoint. If you're on TV and someone called the Hokies, the Wahoos, or called UVA, the Hokies, it'd be an all-out civil war. But
you know it.
Even more so. Yeah, even more so. And here's a little bonus one for you, because this would be the only time in history you would see UVA and Virginia Tech band together and unite, and that would be if you called either one of us West Virginians.
Oh, you're right. That is 1,000% accurate. Absolutely right. In fact, anything with West Virginia versus any of them, that the West Virginia-Virginia Tech series in football had to just, hey, we got to cool this off, boys. Everybody just take a deep breath and go on down the road. But you, Tremaine, are 1,000% right about that. And I appreciate the phone call, as always. Enjoy the madness.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.